Carolina Outdoors is in session. We're glad that you're joining in. For many of us, especially in the Charlotte area, here in the city, in the suburbs, we oftentimes in October, in November, and onward look for escape. And what a great time to escape the cities and the suburbs than right now. People are heading to the mountains in droves, whether it be to see the leaf change, whether it be to take a hike, maybe a mountain bike trip, or maybe a fly fishing wading journey up there. So many people are being reintroduced to that sport, and many people are being introduced to the sport for the very first time. We're going to find out a little bit about what heading to the North Carolina mountains means this time of year, especially if you want to take up the sport of fly fishing. We're also going to find out about the leaves. Many of us haven't been to the mountains this year. We're going to find out when the best time to be out there is, and hopefully it's going to be right now. I'm Bill Barty, and this is the Carolina Outdoors, and I'm going to welcome Dave Bergman, guide, Jesse Brown's aficionado, onto the program to tell us his version of fly fishing in the North Carolina mountains, because Dave, you have been leading the charge for a lot of these people heading to the mountains as you're guiding them into the sport of fly fishing. What's been going on our local streams?
So it has been a long season of people being locked down in their houses, doing a personal lockdown, you name it. So as soon as October rolled around, everybody came out in droves. So it's been very crowded, and which is understandable. Everybody wants to get out and fish. You know, we all get it. But this is the first season I've really seen it this crowded. There are spots that I haven't even been able to fish this year because there's always been someone there. But the good news is that there's always a place to fish. There should be fish everywhere still. Most people are following the catch and release rules. The law right now is catch and release, single hook artificial lures and flies on delayed harvest water, which is the water that I'm guiding on typically is going to be delayed harvest water. And, you know, so there really are going to be fish in other places. So you don't have to worry about that. You just have to make sure you give people space and you will catch fish.
All right, just generally speaking, we have a few different types of, we're talking about trout fishing too, if you're just joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. We have wild trout streams, which are not managed except for normal conservation practices and harvesting practices. You have hatchery-supported streams, which the state helps support and stock, and there is a season essentially year-round except for the month of March when you cannot keep fish there. But other times of the year, you can keep a certain amount of them. And then October through June, what you just mentioned, the delayed harvest streams. There are 32 different river streams and lakes that participate in that program. Delayed harvest. So that means it's catch and release October through the first Saturday of June.
The harvest is delayed.
Exactly. So I know like some of the closest streams here, and we're going to move into what happens on a guided trip, but then I want to get a lay of the land. So some of the closest streams, because that's what the delayed harvest program means to anglers, some of the streams that are closer in that would not normally hold trout through the warmer weather months will get these fish stockings. And Dave, first off, what trout are getting put in there? Is it browns, brooks, rainbows?
Yeah, so we get brown trout, brook trout, and rainbow trout. And you're going to get a good mix of all of them. And every year I usually see a little more of one species than the other. And that all depends on what the hatcheries are producing. We had a lot of rain this past summer, so the trout ate really good at the hatchery. So they put in some really beautiful fish this year. But these fish are getting pounded hard right now. Like I said, I've never seen this many fishermen out before. And they are absolutely getting hammered, which is making them trickier to catch, but they, you know, you can definitely still catch quite a few fish. You just have to be really patient with them. And, but they are some gorgeous fish, and you're going to get some wild fish mixed in there too. I mean, these delayed harvest streams, a lot of them have been, getting stocked for years and years, and it's only natural for some of those fish to start making wild population. So every now and then you'll get into some wild fish. And if you're really looking to escape, there's quite a few of these delayed harvest streams where if you are able to travel up as far as you can on them, you get into wild trout water. And most of the time, you're not going to see anybody up there. It's probably just going to be you and Mother Nature.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard a trick of the trade right there from Dave Bergman over at Jesse Brown's. He's sharing it with us here on the Carolina Outdoors, meeting clients at the stream. And that's kind of a new thing for us, but we think it enables the clients to have their own time in the morning before they meet you on the stream. 8 a.m., 8:30, I think, is meeting time normally, but you've been tweaking that for certain clients and certain streams to help assuade the crowd and enable those special fishing spots to be garnered before other people arrive.
Yes, I definitely, depending on the day and the time of the month, I do change meeting times. Earlier the better. And most folks, you know, if you want to get out and fish, you're willing to get up early in the morning. I think that even if you don't fish, one thing you know about fishing is you get up early in the morning to do it. One thing everybody knows about fishing and hunting is you wake up early to go. You wake up before the sun comes up. And typically, you wouldn't have to do that for trout because trout are cold water fish. Mm. But we do want to make sure we have the advantage of being able to fish some of the areas that get crowded really fast. And be able to experience some of those areas and have get to work with a few of those fish before the crowds really show up. And the good thing is that even if we don't get to fish a spot that we're looking for, like I said, there's going to be fish in other places. A lot of fish get passed up in places that aren't so obvious. And that's why you hire a guide too, because I have knowledge on some of those places. Your guide will usually have knowledge on some of those places. But if you do get to a spot you want to fish and there happens to be somebody there, I like to think that one out of every five anglers actually knows what they're doing. So just because there's someone there doesn't mean that they spooked all the fish and that they caught every fish and every fish is scared and you're not going to get another bite. A lot of times, once that person moves out, you can move in. And if you have a good knowledge of how you're fishing and what to do and what to use, then you're going to catch some fish. So the crowds, you know, they can be discouraging, but there's always going to be fish to catch. Once again, that's definitely a point that I like to make.
Well, and it's also good to know what you're doing by having a guide that is sharing what's going on. And I wanted to ask you about that because you've taken a lot of different people fishing, and a lot of them are veteran anglers already who maybe who just don't want to tie those crazy knots, or they may want to learn a little bit more about nymphing and subsurface fishing, or maybe a new place to go fish. But also, you have people who've never gone fly fishing before that are just learning. You may even have to show them how to hold the fly rod. That's a constant with this season anyway, as new people are coming into the sport. Do you hold their hand and start them from square one to build that foundation of fly fishing so that they can enjoy it themselves on into the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you really don't need to have any experience to get started. And a lot of people are very intimidated by the sport of fly fishing. Mm-hmm. They think it's very evolutionary and that there's so much to it. And there really can be. But when you break it down, and I say this, if you've been on a trip with me, you'll hear me say this 1,000 times, is work smarter, not harder, right? We want to work smarter, not harder. And that usually means that things are going to be easier. I break it down for you, make it super simple. Like, you really don't need to have any experience. And then even the veteran anglers that I take, they're always learning something new. A lot of folks who I take who say they've been fly fishing before, you know, out west, they may have gone on like a whole week long trip out there. They come here and they've never fished the way we fished. Mm. They still don't really know. Like, they look at water and think, oh, I didn't know you can catch fish in this kind of water. And they really do learn a lot about looking for trout runs and looking behind trout lies and what the trout do during the day and how trout stage in certain times of the day. And yeah, I would say my veteran anglers, you know, learn just as much as my beginners, to be completely honest. So no matter what, you're always going to learn something. You're always going to become a better angler if you go out on a trip.
safety is always in mind, and of course, especially these days, that's part of meeting Streamside. You can travel up in your own car, meet your guide Streamside, and then all the magic starts to happen, including the day of learning, casting instruction, water reading, entomology, the hook set on these fish, and the fish fight, and of course, releasing the fish. Reminder, these are delayed harvest fish that are getting put back into nature to be caught by somebody else or maybe the same angler again later. What's included in these fly fishing wading trips? And when we say wading trips, that means you get to get into the water. The waders and boots are provided, but you get to step into nature, so to speak, into nature's water garden of a babbling brook or river. Included with this, of course, your gear for the day, the lunch, what you need to bring, a North Carolina trout license. Comfortable clothing.
Yeah, inland fishing license is what it's called.
That's
right. If you don't want to buy one.
Polarized sunglasses and your willingness to learn and most especially to have a good time. All of that is in these fly fishing wading trips. Hey, Dave, I mean, how slippery is it out there when we're jumping in there, going on one of these wading trips? Is it just like a creek walk like we did when we were kids?
Yeah, so it's a lot of these are freestone rivers. Some of them I go to have pretty sandy bottoms, but most of them are freestone rivers. And yeah, the rocks are obviously slippery. You know, they got a lot of algae growing on them. But that's never going to be an issue because what I always tell my clients is that we have plenty of time. The fish aren't going anywhere. They're not migrating upstream. We got the fish are, they're going to be around and we don't need to chase them down. And when we're walking in the stream, we're going to take 1 foot at a time. And we're going to take our time. So no matter how slippery it is, you're going to take your time and you're not going to fall. And if you do, that's okay. We'll get you back up. Sometimes it happens. But if you take your time, then you're not going to have that issue. So don't worry too much about that. Rocks are always going to be a little slippery. But we do, you know, if you got a good pair of boots, we provide boots and we either have sticky rubber or some felt, and that definitely helps with not slipping on the rocks.
We're the Outdoor Guys from Jesse Brown's here on the Carolina Outdoors. We're talking fly fishing this fall, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the mountains. But a lot of people have been heading to the mountains to escape city life and enjoy time in a wet mountain stream. Dave Bergman, someone leading the charge by taking clients out there on these fly fishing wading trips. Now, we're going to find out, we have found out about how to work our way around our neighbors who are out there, the crowds and other people spreading out on the streams, maybe getting to a certain hole a little bit earlier. You mentioned taking your time, and I want to delve into that because even getting up there to the mountains can be a beautiful kind of undertaking. And a lot of our listeners maybe haven't been to the mountains this season. I have to ask you, Dave, the leaf change. It's a big deal here in the Carolinas because it's so beautiful this time of year in the Carolinas. For those of us who haven't been to Asheville, to Brevard, to Dobson, North Carolina, to Morganton, can you give us a lowdown on what's happening as far as the leaf change is going?
Yes, in the high country, we're kind of at the peak. About 2 weeks ago, we had some wind and there was a big leaf drop and that really puts the fish down. Like, so when the wind was going, the leaves are falling on the water and we probably didn't catch fish for about a half an hour because that, you know, there's just leaves everywhere. It's harder for the fish to kind of pick out the little nymphs that they're trying to eat. So that, but that was bad. Yeah, I would say that was like 2 weeks ago and the colors were so vibrant. Now it's starting to dull out a little bit more. We're getting less of a drop. Some of the trees are already bare, but they're still really beautiful. If you're in the foothills, you're in big color right now. Big color, and you're going to see some big drops. That's only if, you know, you get a push of wind. I mean, you're going to get leaf drop no matter what. It's something that we have to deal with in the fall. You're going to hook up to leaves. I'm pulling leaves off of flies all the time. But when the flies are not on the leaves, they're in front of fish's faces. So just be patient with the leaves because there's nothing you can do about it. Be patient with the people. Be patient with the leaves. But even though the leaves are dropping and it can be a nuisance on your fly fishing, it is absolutely gorgeous right now to go see the color change.
You've been on a bunch of roads up there, and including one of the most visited tourist attractions in the Carolinas, the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is famed for the views right now, any time of the year, but especially the views right now because of the leaves. So that's the Blue Ridge Parkway. But I know you've been up 181. Will you give us up some of your favorite roadways that are all access to trout streams for the most part? But do you have a favorite? And it could just be the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yeah, it's literally just the Blue Ridge Parkway. I mean, there's a bunch of trails off of that and roads that take you down into other streams. I mean, you go along that and just look for blue. You know, my favorite fishing is blue lining, and you'll find plenty of places to fish. Although it is already, the water's a little cold up there now. Like, I don't do any native brook trout fishing that high up right now. It's already getting a little late for that. I mean, we have had a milder fall, but up there it gets real cold at night, and that makes the water temperature go down. And there, you know, you definitely get fish to bite still, but I don't do any native brook trout fishing right now. I do wild rainbow trout fishing in the little bit of the lower country is on fire right now. That's where, if you want to do some wild trout fishing and really get away from the crowds, try to hit some wild rainbow streams within Pisgah National Forest. Anything that you see flowing into some of the bigger streams you might know, like the Davidson or the Mills the Pigeon, all those streams, or most of them, should hold wild rainbow trout. And this is fantastic weather for them. Getting a little cold once you get past that 4,000 feet mark for the native brook trout. Once you get spring warm and everything up again, then that'll be on fire again. But wild rainbow trout, wild brown trout fishing a little bit lower down should be pretty darn good right now.
I'm going to circle back around in regards to that really quick, because we're talking about the fly fishing, wading trips. I kind of turned the corner into talking about leaves, meeting people streamside and going fishing, a day of learning, casting instruction, water reading, entomology, hook set, and fish fight. Just contact us at Jesse Brown's. You can send an email, jesse@jessebrowns.com, or give us a call, 704-556-0020, or better yet, just stop by Jesse Brown's. We'll get you signed up. But Dave, you mentioned that cold. We can't help but notice the days are going to get shorter and they will get colder. When does this delayed harvest, as far as guided trips, when does it stop?
It doesn't stop until June, Bill. We fish all winter. I think fishing's actually pretty fantastic on a lot of these rivers in the winter. I mean, there's, you know, we may not go up to the high country, but the rivers that are in the foothills, you know, they're going to fish all winter long. And that's some of my favorite fishing to do because, number one, less people. People want to sit by a fireplace. Number two, the fish start to naturalize a little more. And, you know, they're getting pretty hungry, trying to fatten up before the water gets so cold that their metabolism goes way down. But, you know, trout are cold water fish. So dead of winter in the foothills where it's a little bit warmer, we're fishing all the way up until June. So fishing doesn't stop, not for a while.
Well, congratulations on a great start to the season. We have been watching the fish pictures that have been coming through at Jesse Brown's CLT on Facebook as well. It's been an exciting start to the season and welcoming to all the new anglers, or maybe the anglers being reintroduced to the sport of fly fishing. The best way to do this trip is with one person, or the only thing better than a one-on-one outing with your guide, Dave Bergman, is an outing with your friend with a guide. So, one or two people. Why is that? Because that's the best way to have a quality fly fishing wade trip. And not the huge groups, but one or two anglers, probably two anglers, because you have somebody to share the views with on your way up to the mountains and the views and the recollections on the way back down. We're going to take a quick break here on the Carolina Outdoors and come back and wrap it all up. Stay tuned for more.